All right, before we start today's show, we got to let you know, now is your time to grab some special Real Ass Podcast merch just in time for Christmas. The brand new sweatsuits are available. You can buy the top and the bottom, or you can buy them together and be the realest assest dude in your neighborhood. Just go to podcastmerch.com between November 29th and December 6th to grab your limited edition Real Ass Podcast merch in time for Christmas. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Fuckers, it's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my rattlesnake, real ass dude, ultimate minority, Joan Jett of comedy. I got a lot of names.
International superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny, he's a psycho, he's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Ever than I think I'd miss Natalie. Bobby Hutch failing with the first shot of the show.
Bobby, you better be good to your pussy.
Oh, boy. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. It's a fucking Wednesday show coming at you like Cleopatra in your mama's butt cheek with international superstar Zach D'Amico. What's up, kid?
How you doing, brother?
Feeling good, dude. No internet problems all week, right, Shannon? Shannon. Not one.
I'm not saying that.
Not one stream drop all week. Am I right or am I right?
I don't know.
Am I right?
I don't know.
Am I right?
I'm not jinxing it.
Am I right?
Not jinxing it.
Oh, that didn't make a sound.
Oh.
Am I right? Bobby, you know, Bobby's the executive producer of the network, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. Bobby shouldn't know this basic bitch shit. Like, all this shit that Natalie does as the new producer on the network, this is basic bitch shit, and it's below your pay grade.
It's just that actual trigger is also for the speaker underneath, and I forgot that you used it for the board. So, yeah.
Don't fuck up again, Bobby.
I know. I got you.
I got my gun clocked ready to fucking go. No stream dropped. That's the new hashtag today. No streams dropped. Gas Digital.
Shannon, what you're saying is the internet's fixed forever, right?
The internet is fixed.
We'll never have another internet problem.
Right? I'm not even knocking on wood, because knocking on wood would infer that I am not confident in Gas Digital's internet for the rest of our lives.
Plus, I wouldn't knock on anything here. It might knock out the internet.
Yeah, if I knock on this wood, the table might fall apart. I'm going to be honest with you. If I knock on this wood hard enough, the entire building will collapse. It's not okay, guys. We are built on fucking twigs here at Gas Digital. The studios look very, very nice, but underneath the foundation, you know how they say the Palisade Center Mall is built on like a big like landfill? Sure. That's what Gas Digital is.
Didn't know that, but thank you for the fact.
The Palisade Center Mall, that's the rumor. They said that it's slowly sinking. Like it sinks an inch every year into the earth.
My dick does that.
Hell yeah, Zach DeVito's here. Let's start the show. Let's start the show. We have an incredible show planned today. Let's fucking introduce our guests, ladies and gentlemen, from the Just the Plugs podcast, right here on the Gas Digital Network.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brett Raybould is back on the show.
Hello. Great to be here.
Very happy.
Ooh, I get an explosion?
You get an explosion, doggy. You have an explosive personality.
Do I?
You do.
Oh, thanks.
You're great. Well, you sometimes show up wearing a fucking tuxedo. It's delightful.
It's nice. Well, you know, I just want to let you know I take this seriously, and I'm just trying to class up the joint. You know?
I love it. Very, very cool. And also, ladies and gentlemen, the first Colombian comedian to ever perform on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the one and only Pedro Gonzalez is on the show.
Thank you for having me, guys. Super excited.
He's on fire!
He came to
like a Colombian
gun.
Sound. Very appropriate.
There we
Thank
go.
You.
First ever Colombian comedian.
Yeah, there you go.
Ay, papi.
Pedro, this is the first time you're on the show.
Yeah, man.
This
thank
is
you.
Great. I've known Pedro from the old Roastmaster battles. He was one of the better battlers. You do a great job there. Always had a great time with you. So I'm very, very excited to have you on the show. We're going to get to know Pedro today. We're going to find out more about Bretcoin, I'm sure, today.
Sure.
What a fucking show we have. Let's get our plugs out of the way. Let's just do it.
Let's do it.
Let's plug
get
it up. Pedro, what do you got to plug?
My Instagram is Pedro's Jokes, if they want to follow me. And I just started a podcast in Spanish. I don't know if you have followers that speak Spanish, probably.
Maybe.
Do you speak Spanish?
Sí.
Okay.
He's full of shit.
Cállate la boca, maricón.
Ah, no, sí, un poquito.
Cállate, maricón.
Ok, está bien.
Mamao.
No quiero pelear.
Sí.
No quiero pelear.
Sí.
Tú eres más fuerte, eres más fuerte que yo. Sí.
¿Por cuá?
Fucking guy.
¿Qué?
I got it.
¿Queso?
Ay, cállame.
¿Queso? Dame la leche.
Te doy tu leche.
Dame la leche. Dame la agua.
You don't want to walk into that pond of dame la leche.
Dame la agua. Dame la pluma.
Te doy la pluma. Okay. It's proven.
Maestra.
He speaks Spanish.
Maestra.
Very good. So
pizza.
So back to the plug.
I'm convinced Lewis only knows how to make threats in Spanish.
I'm convinced he only knows how to make threats in English.
I just started saying words.
He's saying, give me the pen, give me the milk, give me the water.
I think he said quesarito. He might have said Crunch Wrap Supreme.
So anyway, I have
a sentiment twist.
It's a youtube.com/lacomedymafia. That's a podcast.
La Comedy Mafia. I love it, dude. That's fucking great, dude. I don't know of any comedian doing a Spanish-speaking podcast. It's great. I'm going to check it out.
Thank you. You know what?
Pull up the podcast. Let's go 7 minutes into the latest episode, Shannon, and I'm going to give it a quick review right now because
great.
I speak Spanish. Yeah. Brett Raybould, what do you got to plug?
Okay, so I am headlining the Kansas City Improv December 26th, so if you're in Kansas City, get tickets to that. I also have my jazz album, Brett en Bublé. I recently filed, this is true, I issued a cease and desist on Michael Bublé yesterday.
Good.
I am claiming correctly that my versions of the songs are so good that they're now the definitive versions. Therefore, all of the previously recorded versions are cover. Therefore, Michael Bublé needs to begin paying me a royalty. So I mailed
that.
It to his lawyer, Mr. Jeffrey Cohen, and all of his agents.
Did you just
managers.
Guess his name?
I just typed in a Jewish last name. Was like, it's probably that. Yeah. No, it's publicly listed.
So you are really doing Bublé songs.
Well, Bublé is doing other people's songs,
too. I'm sorry.
They're now my songs.
So Bublé is doing your songs,
yes.
And these are the songs that Bublé is doing.
Yes, Bublé is doing my songs. It started as a cover album, but, you know, upon reflection, I think I just rocked the song so hard that I think they legally should be mine.
And are you only selling it in vinyl?
We're selling it in vinyl. We have CDs.
Can we listen to a song online somewhere?
Right now? It's on Spotify.
Ooh, I would love to hear Brett doing a version of
Come Fly. We got there's two sides. There's classic Bublé and Christmas Bublé.
I like Christmas Bublé. It's Christmas season.
Yeah,
it's Christmas holiday.
We got if you want, with Baby It's Cold Outside, we do a version of that.
I would love to hear that, and we're gonna pull that up right now after we finish our plug. Zach and Miko.
I'm on the road with you.
Yeah, he is. Next month, me and Zach, we will be
Toronto. Well, this month we're in Toronto.
Wow, 2 weeks from now we'll be in Toronto. I haven't been to Canada in a very, very long time. I love Canada. Love Canada. I haven't been to Canada since I went to Winnipeg and my famous Winnipeg win a pegging of Lewis contest. I let one fan peg me after the show.
You did?
Yes, they fucked me. Directly in my ass with a strap-on dildo. It was a man.
I respect you.
It was a man
you.
Who had a strap-on dildo covering his regular penis, so it wasn't gay.
That's true. Yeah. Me and you are similar as that. Hey, we'll do whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes
for cash.
For the fucking numbers.
That's right.
We'll be in Toronto. Lexington, Kentucky's coming up in January. Connecticut's coming up in January. A bunch of stuff. Go to lewisofskanks.com to grab your tickets for all of those dates. More dates are going to be added. I told my fucking agent to put them all up on the website. They're still not up. There's a bunch more coming up. There's more that are already booked. A bunch more. Fucking Boston's already booked. Denver. San Francisco we're doing. We're going all over the place, baby boy. San Diego's already booked for next summer. Which Zach will be on because you weren't in San Diego last time, right?
Correct.
Coming out, baby boy. It's going to be a wild time. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Gas Digital Network. Use the promo code RAP. Get a 7-day free trial. You get instant access to the complete on-demand libraries for all of the shows on the network. Every single show. We have thousands of hours of content that you cannot get anywhere else in the world. You get them right here at Gas Digital, and you get a free trial just to see if you like it. Also, go subscribe to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PR Rattlesnake, and subscribe to Shannon's podcast. The thing is...
Ding.
All right, that's it. That was the plugs. Good plugs.
Very good plugs.
Today was the first day of... you have to do that too. Oh, shit. Yeah, all right. One subscribe on iTunes. One lucky subscriber on iTunes gets a free piece of merch, and it doesn't matter. No, I'm sorry. If you leave a review on iTunes, you get a free piece of merch, whether it's a good review or a bad review. So we're going to pick out the reviewer for this month. Luis Gay Gomez is the winner for this month. That's the commenter. What is his comment?
The title is The Only One. It's 5 stars.
Hell yeah.
And the comment is, it's the only real podcast left out there.
It is the only real podcast left out there. You know, I know I make this kind of like joke where I'm like, oh, we're the best. We are.
Kind of are.
We really are. Like, yeah. I'm not being a dickhead here. All my podcasts are incredible, but this might be the best podcast in the world.
The most laughs per week, because most we do three.
Per week, by far.
Yeah.
Do you listen to another one that's not yours?
No.
No.
Luz only listens to podcasts that are about
loser.
Him.
What type of loser would listen to podcasts?
Do you listen to yours? On your way
I anywhere? Listen to my own podcast.
It's called Quality Control.
To make myself better every time.
Okay.
I think you should do a podcast that's just a recap of Real Ass Podcast. Ooh. You know how they have Walking Dead and Talking Dead?
This week in Lewis, and I review everything that happened on podcast
everything
this week.
You just got to review it.
That's a fucking solid idea right there. Brett, that's why you make the big bucks.
I just gave it for free.
That's a beautiful idea. Today was it's the 1st of December, so that means that it is Elf on a Shelf time. And my fucking elf, we put him out.
What is that?
Elf on a Shelf is... when did this come out? When did they invent Elf on a Shelf? When did that bitch come out? I feel like it's been around longer than I'm giving it credit for, but this shit just popped up. Like, we did not have Elf on a Shelf when I was a kid.
No.
Okay. So what it is
I think you lacked a lot of things as a kid, right?
We didn't have shelves when I was a kid.
It started in 2005.
An elf in a pile of dirt on the floor. That's what we had. What?
2005 is when it started.
2005. So yeah, it has been a while, but I was well beyond my Santa years by the time Elf on a Shelf came out. It's a little fucking elf, right? And by the way, last year we tried to find Black Elf on a Shelf. Fucking hilarious. Fucking hilarious, dude. Black Elf on a Shelf is, you know, he doesn't work. So he's a little elf that shows up on December
1st. He's named Elf on a Stoop.
He shows up on
the 40
on December 1st, and he is in just, it's kind of a fun game to play. Every day your kid wakes up and the elf has moved. And the idea is that Santa has sent him from the North Pole. It's busiest time of year. It's fucking Christmas. He has these little magical elves that come and watch the kids, make sure they're being extra good for that last month right before Christmas. And they do fun things. You could pull up different things that elves have gotten into from other elf on shelves. So it's like my elf is particularly naughty. Her name is Sprinkles. And I got a girl elf because I couldn't find a boy elf. Don't think I was trying to be like an equal opportunist, like gender guy, where I was like, I don't want my son playing with fucking a female elf.
You also heard of someone just watching everything you do and reporting back. You're like, that's a woman.
Also, to be honest with you, he's getting to the age where he's going to probably start having his G.I. Joe's fuck his elf on the shelf.
Yeah.
So that's why.
I love it. That's how you should assemble them, just in a running train on each other.
So I was wondering if James really believes this, though, because he's getting to the age now where other kids or bringing it up to him and being like, oh, Santa's not real. He goes to school on the Upper West Side, so there's a lot of, you know what we're saying up there. Yeah, a lot of money on the Upper West Side.
A lot of money.
So, yeah, some kids, so he's sort of mentioned before the kids have said it, and he believes in Santa, but in my mind I'm going, like, does he really? Because when I was his age, I said I believed in Santa, but that was just, I was playing along the whole time.
You wanted to keep the toys coming.
The toys were coming, or it wasn't even that. I was just sort of playing along because it just was a thing. When I was 8,
yeah, right.
Santa, what do they do in Columbia? Do they have a Santa Claus? Yeah,
Santa Claus and Baby Jesus brings you a gift as well.
Baby Jesus
brings the gifts?
It's his birthday, so.
So shouldn't comes, you give him
gifts? Is he holding a bag?
No, we have the nativity scene and then you put the baby that day. And so on the 24th, just people get shit-faced and the kids fall asleep and we wake them up at midnight. And then
like, ooh, look at the baby Jesus.
Yeah, and then they just go and run. And then the parents keep drinking. Wow. Until like 6 in the morning.
That's it. But they don't give gifts. They don't have enough money in Colombia for presents.
Well, my dad did come on the 24th at 11, like at 10 p.m. and just took us to TJ Maxx and was like, fucking.
Oh, and go
you got new jeans.
Go and buy something.
Yeah,
nice.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
that is kind of sad. I was kidding. And then he told his real version, which was sadder than the
TJ Maxx is sadder than nothing.
Why'd you make me sad, dude? We're trying to have a fun show.
Each Christmas, here's a sweatshirt where one sleeve is longer than the other.
They don't even have toys. It's just like shitty toys at TJ Maxx.
Dude, I connect with my mom.
Merry Christmas. Here is a miniature Magic 8-Ball.
My mom does full TJ Maxx for Christmas for everybody. Yeah. And it's just literally because she likes to watch people open things. And it's just like, hey, here's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And every year we're like, Mom, stop going to TJ Maxx. You're buying us stuff that they couldn't sell in a real store.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's always like off-brand candy. It's the worst. So same Christmas.
So you wake up every day with this little elf, right? And he's doing different things. So today when we woke up, he was in the toaster. So yeah, this is just some random ideas that people have. So that you could set up little things like candy cane, car wash, elf twister.
I like that.
You got to just have them, you know, get your plugs in even with your kid. Have them, like, listening to real-ass podcasts.
No, we have them. Last year we had her doing some fun things, right? The reason he named her Sprinkles was because the first day she had opened up a package of Sprinkles, and fucking poured them all over the place and was eating them because elves love candy and they love sugar, right?
Of course.
So he was like, oh, this is great. Her name is Sprinkles, right? And he's got an elf at her mom's house, too, and his name is Patch. And
that's
his mom's a fucking.
He was shaving his mom's pubes.
His mom's a boring bitch, so she just fucking puts the elf on the shelf. Oh, today the elf is on top of the refrigerator. Oh, today the elf's in a shoe. Mm. I do fun things. Like last year,
the freezer was good.
What I do?
Cold hard cash.
Oh yeah, he had my bucket of change. He put it in the freezer and with a note that said cold hard cash.
That's good.
It was clever.
That's good.
I do clever things, okay? I do clever fucking things. I covered James in popcorn in his sleep.
That's great.
He woke up, he's just popcorn everywhere.
And where was that? That's unrelated.
The elf was just on top of him with the popcorn bag.
I was like, that's unrelated to the elf. Yes. I'm like, I just dunked my kid in piss.
I doused him in champagne. It was pretty hot. He does fun things. So in my mind, though, I'm going like, all right, this is, you know, he probably doesn't really believe in himself, right?
How old is your kid again?
He's going to be 9 next month.
9.
That's the cusp. That is
so
the cusp.
So he knocks on my door, like 4 o'clock in the morning, he knocks on my door. And we've already set up the elf in the toaster. So he knocks on the door. He's like, hey, Dad, can I just sleep on the couch? I'm awake now, and I just want to, like, he likes lying down on the couch. It's comfortable. So I was like, sure. So he goes lying on the couch. I go back to bed. 6 o'clock. Another knock on my door. And I open the door. He's hysterically crying.
Oh my God.
Hysterically crying. And I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, I don't think Sprinkles is going to come because I was sleeping on the couch and not in my bed. And I think that it's not good. Like, Santa's going to be mad at me. And I was like, this kid is retarded. God damn it. He really believes it. He believes it with his soul. I didn't believe it. Like, and now I feel bad. And I was like, James, relax. Have you even looked for Sprinkles? And of course, he starts looking for her. He finds her. He's so happy. Then I go back to bed for a few minutes, and I'm hearing him, like, talk to her. He's like, Sprinkles, I thought you weren't coming this year. And it's the cutest thing in the world. But I feel terrible.
Either that or he goes to school, and he's like, I have got my dad.
By the balls.
Dad's a fucking – he's good with the crocodile tears.
Thinks I am one dumb faggot, and I am going to clean up this year.
My dad bought me a Ducati for Christmas.
To prove that Christmas is real.
Doggy, I mean, this kid believes –
they call him the Two Christmas James.
Dude, he fucking believes so deeply.
But that's so much better. How much better is that as a dad, having him still... You got to hold on to the magic as long as you can.
I don't know. There's going to be a line on that, too, though.
Of course. I mean...
If he's 14 and he's crying because Sprinkles isn't here.
If he's... If he's 14 and waking you up in tears, you're like, okay, it is not cute. What do you think the cusp is?
This was the first year that I felt guilty about lying to him. Like, I was sitting there. I was like, dude, I feel really bad... That, like, because he really believes it, you know?
I love it.
And the disappointment that he's going to feel when, like, because just when he thought Sprinkles was going to show up, like, I don't want to, like, is he going to, like, break down and be, like, finding out that Santa's not real, finding out that Sprinkles isn't real, finding out that I'm not real?
You're not, don't say that.
Big James.
You're the host of
I'm also not
ass.
Real.
Don't say that. You're the realist, right?
I am the realist.
Aren't you, you know?
Were you sensitive like that as a kid or no?
No. No, I maybe, but I had more reason to be sent. Like my mom was violently abusing me.
That's why you didn't have an elf on the shelf. She was too busy kicking your ass.
Yeah, she was too busy beating the shit out of me
to make the elf. She didn't have time. She was configurations
in between fighting me. She was training to fight me.
So is that,
so is I that had, like at all times she was just like just conditioning her body and mind to beat me better.
Let me ask you this question. How much of a fighter's mentality is tied to the ability, having a past where they have the fighter's mentality instilled into them? Does that make sense? Like, okay, so the Harrington-Dillon fight, it was like, it had to have been Harrington. Harrington's been through shit.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've talked to so many fighters at this point throughout like the years of doing those types of shows. It's a wide, wide variety of people that get into fighting. But more often than not, it seems people that have a tougher upbringing and experience violence as a kid, you're desensitized to it. You know, you're not like, here's the thing. Once you've been, this is what happens when you train, you get punched in the face and then you go, oh, being punched in the face isn't that bad.
That's like stand-up.
Yeah, you think it's going to be like awful. You're like, oh my God, that's the worst thing in the world. You know, and you even the few times most people have been into a handful of fights as a kid, or you know what I'm saying, whatever it is, you don't really remember, but it's kind of a scary thing. But being punched in the face, once you kind of go in there and start training, you realize that being punched in the face isn't actually that. It's not really that painful. Being punched in the stomach hurts more. Doing 100 sit-ups hurts more than being punched in the face. Like, it actually physically hurts more if you were to calculate the physical pain that you're feeling. Doing 100 sit-ups hurts more than simply taking a punch in the face, without a doubt, unquestionably. So once you sort of get used to the fact that, like, oh, that's not going to hurt that bad, the sort of, now you're like, oh, I want to hit that guy. And it becomes this sort of fun back and forth, and you're learning a skill set that, you know, but to answer your question, I think a lot of people are desensitized to it early at an early age, and they go, yeah, I can take a fucking punch. Who gives a shit? They were fighting a lot in street fights as a kid, or their parents beat the shit out of them, or whatever it was. And I think that's half the battle. So people that don't have that, they have to go and get used to that. And very often, to even get over that hump, I think a lot of people are like, they just wouldn't, you know? When's the last time you were in a fist fight, Brett?
I have never been in a fist fight.
Dude, Michael Bublé is going to fuck you up.
I'm going to fuck him up, dude. Come on. Are you kidding? I could take Bublé. You don't think I could beat that guy up?
He's from the streets.
I don't even know what Michael Bublé looks like. He could be white. He could be black.
He looks like Brett.
He
like a fat Brett.
He's looking fat Brett.
Yeah, he looks like a chubbier me. He's less good looking than me. Brett Ray Bold. Brett what Bold?
Ray Bold.
Are you saying rape?
Ray Bold.
Oh, like Bold.
He's a Bold.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But that's how you say your name, so it didn't really make sense.
I thought you were saying rape. I was like, Brett Rape Bold? Let's not get that nickname
He's way
started.
More handsome than you.
Fuck that. No, I could. Come on. That's not more handsome than me.
Can we hear Brett do Bublé, please?
Yeah, Shannon, play the record for the fine folks at home. Come fly with me. You can do any track, whatever your heart desires, Shannon. Shannon listens to it when she masturbates. Did you know that? Shannon, confirm that to be true?
Shannon.
That is not true.
That is true. Wow. She told me it off air. She told me it off air. Bobby, too.
I heard she masturbates to it when the internet's down.
She has it saved on her Pirate phone. Box. It's the one thing.
Let's hear.
I really can't say.
Pause it.
It's cold outside.
Who's the girl?
The woman is a friend of mine. Her name is Pepper Solana. She is a professional singer. She's
She sounds great.
Yeah, she's sung like backup for like Mary J. Blige and like Mariah Carey and shit like that. And is amazing. She's not at my caliber, but she's decent.
No, you gave her an opportunity.
Gave her an opportunity. Yeah. It's like, you know, you try and help people along. You do it for a lot of people. You help people along who are at an earlier phase. You pull them up. And I was trying to pull her up by giving her a chance to feature on my record.
I like this. All right, so let's hear it, please.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Damn, that's good.
This evening has been
hoping that you're
so very nice. Oh.
your ass. Ooh, they're just like eyes.
My mother will start
you
to worry.
What's your...
My father will be pacing the floor.
I'm sorry, I don't want to... You're a little flat.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Yeah, you're just a little flat.
Well, maybe just hop a drink more.
Am I the only one who hears it?
The neighbors might think...
Okay, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No calves to be had. I can't be the only one who hears.
I wish I know how.
We're still rolling?
To break this spell.
I'm sorry. Hair looks swell. Prefer to cut?
All right. That's very good. I like this.
I kicked her off the track immediately after that, and I did both the female and male parts.
Did you? That's amazing. Well, you got to go buy the album in order to hear all this.
You got
to
buy the record. It is on Spotify.
Look, you can listen to it on Spotify, but look, buy the fucking record.
So truly, my goal truly is to outchart Bublé for 1 year in my life. I genuinely believe I can outchart this guy. I kind of believe my heart of hearts, this record, its destiny is to go number one. I think when people hear it, they hear how good it is. They hear how
I'll tell you right now, that little sample right there was pure magic.
That was pure magic. Was it not?
I'll tell you right now, look, show the power of the fucking Real Ass Podcast. Why don't we do that? Why don't we collectively for once just fucking get off our asses, the Real Ass Podcasters out there and the fucking Real Ass Dudes out there and dudettes, and fucking go and buy this album. Buy it right now. Get it to the number one on the iTunes charts.
That would be the biggest. So here's what I did to make the album more accessible. The lowest, so it is available on vinyl. It's like $20. CD is like $10. But if you just want to support the cause of getting it to number one, I made the album cost $3.75 digitally.
Wow.
Why did I do that? Because that is the lowest amount an album can cost for its sale to register on the charts. I'm throwing shots at Bublé.
Wow.
This is better than his shit.
Better than Bublé.
And that's why I'm going to formally lodge a cease and desist if he doesn't respond in 10 days. I will file it in the Southern District of New York City. I will be representing myself, what's called pro se, which is, means you're representing yourself in a court of law, and I'm not getting a lawyer. I can't afford one. I don't need one. All knowledge I need.
Lawyers need you.
Lawyers need me. But, you know, I believe in our legal system.
He encouraged Brett so much.
I love it.
Yeah, no.
Brett's one of my favorite people.
That true?
Yes.
Really?
Brett, you rule.
Oh, man.
You're unique. You're fucking not self-aware. It's incredible.
I don't know what you're talking about, not self-aware. I don't know what you're talking about. Does that look like a guy who's self-aware?
Is that even you on the front of the album? Who is that?
That is me. I probably, you know what's funny about this photo was taken by a photographer in New York City. When I talked to him, he goes, this is the second album cover I've ever taken in my life. I said, really?
Who's the first?
And he said, Van Morrison.
Wow.
And I go, that's one of my colleagues. So,
I love it. I love it. It's
me
great.
Me and Van, he's a musical peer of mine. Bublé, not so much.
Go support Brett and please purchase his album.
And please, I'm issuing this, like, go to the Twitter. I'm going to tweet at Bublé. I want him to see this and I want him to know I'm nipping at his heels. Like, there's no world in which he's safe. He needs to know someone's coming for his throne.
I like it. Bublé, no one's safe. Okay, really quickly, we must take a moment and thank Delta 8 for supporting today's show. Delta 8 is legal in 42 states. Now is the time to get super fucking high on Yo Delta, Delta 8 fucking gummies and vapes.
Yeah, guys, you guys know what Delta 8 is. It's something found in hemp. It can be legally shipped to various states, and it gets you high. They sent us vapes. They sent us gummies. We did the field research. Why? Because we love you. And I got to tell you what? It works. It got me super high. It gets Lewis super high. To be completely honest, I don't think I can really tell you the difference.
No, I'll tell you right now. If you ever see me smoking a vape pen, it's specifically Delta 8 from Yo Delta. And I'll tell you right now, it gets me super duper high. The gummies are great as well. This is a great gift for the holiday season. Legal weed. Go to YoDelta.com. You can find a mix of gummies, vapes, and anything you need to get super, super high this holiday season. Once again, that's YoDelta.com. Use the promo code GAS when you check out. You're going to save 25% off your already affordable order. Once again, YoDelta.com. Save 25% off with that promo code GAS. All right, where were we? All right, so let's move on. Look, this is great. I love it. I'm going to personally purchase this album, and I think you all should as well. We have to talk about some of these other things here. You know what? Fuck it. We haven't done This Week in Sex in a hot minute, and Bobby's sitting in for Natalie, so I thought it's a great time that we can maybe do This Week in Sex with Shannon and special guest Bobby. So I know nothing about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. Zero. So I want you guys for This Week in Sex, in a very sexy way, let us know what's going on with Ghislaine Maxwell on this trial.
Okay. Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to start with...
Hold on. Hit the music.
It's sexy music. Oh, yeah. The bottom one.
That's not sexy music.
It's Halloween. Music.
Yeah. That's sexy music for Zach.
Yeah. That's a song I lost my virginity to.
Okay. So on the first day, the person that they were questioning was... Was the pilot of the Lolita Express. Mm. His name is Larry Visosky.
He didn't really call it the Lolita Express, right?
This is what they keep calling the it in the article.
That's the formal name.
Because if you're trying to sex traffic children, I got to be honest with you, like, you're not hiding it very well if you're like, have Lolita Express painted on the side.
Right, the SS Diddler. that's not the best name, but that is the formal name.
Yeah, you got to call it like Of Age Airlines.
Statutory.
Yeah. Age appropriate air.
Sorry, so they interviewed.
The pilot.
They interviewed who?
Larry Visosky, who was the pilot for more than 25 years. And this is the jet that Epstein allegedly used to shuttle underage girls.
We know.
He is the first witness in the trial. Mm. And on Tuesday, so he took the stand twice. He said that Epstein was the big number one. And that Maxwell was the number two, so that Epstein was calling the shots.
Mm.
He also...
did they ask him, who does number two work for?
He was also talking about the first accuser, which will be the next part that we tell you about, and said that he did remember her. She was a shorter woman with dirty blonde hair, and then the prosecuting attorney said... But didn't you say she had big boobs? And he said she was a mature woman and that she didn't look young. She didn't look like she was underage.
Big fat titties. I do judge a girl's age by tit size.
Mm-hmm. I think that would hold up in a court of law as well.
I feel like if a girl has above D's, that...
But Your Honor, she had double D's.
That's the best defense I've ever... Your Honor, she had big, sweet tits.
Look at him. He's on the stand. Yeah. Come on.
I'm just saying, you know...
Them titties ain't underage.
But for the same time, I say that flat-chested women should never be able to have sex.
Never in their life.
If you don't grow tits, you don't grow consent.
That's mine.
Don't steal that. I see what you're doing. He's going to take it and make that a Spanish bit on his fucking Spanish speaking podcast.
Well,
I know what's going on.
It's simple. No, you don't mind.
Please. If there's one thing Lewis says, it's simple. Go.
I tried to have sex with a woman once. I couldn't do it because she was real thin.
Oh.
I'm not gay. It would be fine if I was.
She was real thin. That was the only time you could turn down a rail.
So then
he's on fire.
She turned around, and it was like looking a little boy, and I couldn't get it out.
So then you
because
came
because of that. There you go.
I like just a diversity of woman. So if I'm with a woman, she's got big tits. I'm
looking at a lot of little tit porn.
I'm looking at a lot of little tit porn. Yeah, doggy.
Yeah, I know.
If I'm with a fucking Spanish chick, I'm fucking going for a white bitch. It's just whatever it is. Whatever I don't have.
If I'm looking at a Spanish girl, I'm looking at girls without kids.
Yeah, I really, it's just diversity. Diversity, and not in the gay, woke way. I mean, like.
Sure.
Anything that's not you.
But yes. Anything that is not. The one I'm with.
Yeah, like when your chick's like, do you jerk off to me? It's like, you're the one person I don't jerk off. I jerk off to I just Google anyone but my wife.
Yeah. You're not going to jerk off to someone you fuck. You get the real thing with them.
Have you ever tried to get your partner to like change their hair or do something so that it looks like you're having sex with someone else?
I've gotten a few months out of my wife will change her hair to red every year or two, and
I've asked, but she's like
that'll get like two, 3 months.
Yeah, because they look like a different person.
Have them put on a mask, like one of those Hillary Clinton looking things.
That could be an idea.
Yeah, it's an idea.
I mean, I'll have my girl do different things with her pubic hair.
Real. So then it's like different vaginas.
Like that crop circles.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Like it's signs.
Yes.
Lewis was here.
I have her shave it into the biohazard logo. Yeah, I don't. No, my girl. You want to mix it up a little bit. That'll definitely do it. But that's that. So I'm sorry, Shannon. Keep on going. What else?
Just to finish up what he said about the woman, he said she didn't look young. I mean, whatever you decipher is the definition of young, but she was a woman in my category. He also said he never saw any sexual activity happen on the plane. He never saw any sex toys, condoms, or clothing thrown around the plane. So he's kind of on the side of Maxwell and
good
Epstein.
Man. Oh, good man. Or, yeah. Good man. Didn't turn him in.
He's saying that there was a fucking on the plane.
Right. And he's saying that the girl didn't appear to be underage. Yeah. And she was 14. Right.
Because of her big boobs.
Right. And she was 14.
Yeah. We call it the Louis J. Gomez defense.
Oh, she was 14.
She was 14 when they started hanging out with her.
Oh, and he was like, she didn't seem 14. That's, 14's pretty young.
That's crazy young. Also, who would just hang out with a 14-year-old?
How would
that's
this child
fun.
Get on a jet?
That's true.
I'm just saying, like, at what point do you go, like, there's a child on a jet? Mm-hmm. Is everyone like, what's going on here?
Whose parents?
Whose child is this on the jet right now?
It's not even Michael Jackson, so it's not even like a star. Like, if it's like a star, I'm like, all right, I'll let my 14-year-old go hang out with, you know, R. Kelly or whatever. But it's like Jeffrey Epstein. Well, at least, you know what I'm saying? Like, no one knew who Jeffrey Epstein was 10 years ago, regular people. So you're just going to let him hang out with this rich guy? Was she from a different country? She had to been from a foreign country. Right? And like poor or something.
I don't know. We're going to find out, right?
And if you're hanging out with a 14-year-old, like you wouldn't hang out with a 14-year-old, like, unless you were fucking them, right? Does this make sense?
You could just say you wouldn't hang out with a 14-year-old, Brett.
But I'm saying for people who fuck 14-year-olds, you wouldn't just like want to have a conversation with them.
One odd thing. The flight attendants kept asking if we were stocking juice boxes.
All right, continue. Bobby, maybe you pick it up here, Bobby. And remember, keep it sexy, yeah, please. Keep it.
Oh, so you're going to talk about Jane now.
Jane.
Ooh. It's a different article.
Where am I looking?
Bobby, keep it sexy.
Bobby.
Make your voice. Can you try to make it a little more feminine in your voice, please?
Okay. Ghislaine's
No, feminine.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Is that a feminine? No, make it like a woman. Do you want me to do it? Ghislaine Maxwell.
Okay, I'll like tell that. It like this.
Go ahead. Okay, make it hot.
Ghislaine Maxwell's first accuser, known as Jane, took the stand Tuesday to testify that she was 14 years old when she first had sexual contact with Jeffrey Epstein.
Something else is taking a stand, Zach. Easy.
This is not the weekend.
Easy.
Sex. This is not the weekend
this
sex.
This is the weekend sex. Yes,
this
it is.
This is the weekend fucking this statutory is the week, rape.
This is the weekend sex. This is the biggest sex story this week.
You're playing sexy music, underscoring stories of a 14-year-old being forced to fuck.
Yeah, while Bobby describes it in a female's voice. Yes.
This is weird.
Yes.
And I don't want to incriminate our guests, so I think the sexy music's a little weird. Could you play Brett doing Come Fly With Me while we talk about
love
this
it.
14-year-old talking about a plane?
I love to be associated with this story.
That
yeah.
is true. This is actually, we might just make that song the official This Week in Sex theme song.
Definitely the Jeffrey Epstein theme song for the rest of the time we ever do this podcast talking about Jeffrey Epstein.
I'm great. I'm glad to be associated with... You know, personal icon.
Hey, dude, I'm not like us, you know, I'm not.
Is he just resorting? What's going on?
Sometimes we have to plug Lewis. Sometimes we have to charge Lewis.
Lewis and I almost get in a fight once an episode, and this is one that's coming out of nowhere. He's giving me the
fucking not even blinking.
Side
I'm
eye.
I'm just making sure, bro.
Of what?
I'm not downplaying the rape of these children.
I know you're not.
Okay? I think that's an awful thing, but me not doing a hilarious bit about it is not going to bring back their virginities.
I mean, they're reading the news, right?
They do have a surgery for that, though. You know what? Can we do a fundraiser to get these girls clitoral reconstruction?
Yeah, if they give back all the fucking money they need.
No, clitoral reconstruction. Hymen reconstruction surgery. Right. Can you look up how much a hymen reconstruction surgery is as well? And also, can we see video of it? Just for research purposes. Not on a child, you fucking sick Colombian.
I doesn't need it.
Yeah, no shit.
I thought that was funny. I was also thinking that there's women that need clitoral reconstruction in Africa.
If
you want to do another,
can they put a woman's clit back on her body if it gets cut off by her uncle?
Not all the king's horses and all the king's men.
Just take a shard of a penis.
What can you do? It really is like a, doesn't it look like just one little brain node? What if we just clip off just like a little fucking piece of her brain and just fucking glue
lobotomy,
it?
A lobotomy to clit?
Oh, dude.
Hot glue?
Wow, the perfect woman. You fucking clip off a piece of her brain and put it to give her an oversized clit.
I think you just figured out how God invented women. The clit is the rational decision brain node.
Oh, it's the best bit ever. We just made the best bit ever on the show. It's the best bit ever, dude.
Retire the podcast. We
might have to. I don't know what to do now, dude.
It's done.
A woman's clit is the part of her brain that it was. That's for reasoning. And God cut it off and put it right in between her legs.
Here, come with this.
And we get to rub it to make her fucking think better. I love it. Shannon, how do you feel about all this? As a woman?
Well, I found the price of hymenoplasty.
Hymenoplasty.
It's $2,000, right?
It's $15,000 to $20,000.
Wow.
Begin again.
Here's a little explanation.
I think you have a Christmas gift for your girlfriend, Lewis.
Hymenoplasty?
I think you got
that would be fucking dope.
Sweetheart.
That's a gift for me. Dude, just get it for every month. Get her hymenoplasty.
Oh, every month. Huh?
Every month. Just rip through it every month.
Oh, like a jelly of the month club.
Yeah, dude. It's
a hymen of the month club.
So they
get her a black one.
Hymenoplasty or hymen repair is the treatment for torn hymen. Repair of a torn hymen may be performed for a variety of personal reasons, including religious or cultural conformity.
Or fucking up that pussy. Does it say that? No? Okay.
Yeah, dude, that's fucking wild. Ronald Blatt.
Ronald Blatt's a sick fuck. Look at him.
Do you want to watch it?
Look at his piece of shit.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's him describing it. I want to actually see. I want to see
the surgery.
All right, let me see
the actual surgery.
Wait, hold on.
Sincere question.
Can you go back onto that website real quick? Same day appointments?
What?
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's like a guilty pleasure purchase.
I'm so sorry.
You gotta get him in.
Forgive my ignorance. Does that mean you can book it day of, or that you're in and out of the hospital?
No,
the
I think
same
they
day.
Say same day appointments. Probably your consultation.
It says two for the price of one. You can get one. You can get one in the roof of your mouth.
Taco Tuesdays. 30% off pussy repair. This is wild.
We're having a fire sale on Hyman's.
What? Why is it?
You
so
get a clit. You get a clit. You get a clit.
Why is it so expensive though?
Why is it so expensive? Yeah. I'm sure it is a
fucking. Hyman's don't grow on trees.
I have it.
Is it like stem cells?
Oh shit.
Hell yeah, dude!
I every time I come
Puerto
to the
Rican
show,
girl. Hell
I
yeah,
see
dude.
Something I never. I don't.
Oh, that's what they're doing.
Look at.
That's a tight.
Oh, I've seen this video before.
That's a tight vagina. Oh, they're needling it up. Ow! 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 I don't even have a pussy, and I know that doesn't feel good.
They're like, do you? She's just awake right now.
She's trimming. Why are they trimming the edges? What are they trimming the edges for? Why are they trimming the edges? I thought they're putting it together.
Oh, God.
What are they doing?
Dude, I didn't know.
Why is my dick getting hard?
It looks like a New Jack match.
Zach, I'm fluffing up a little bit.
I am not.
I am fluffing up a little bit right now. This is how hot I think hurting women's vaginas is. In a room of men that I don't respect, I'm still getting hard. Look at it.
I hate.
Who put TikTok lettering on top of it?
Put stitches in the inner layer and it's good a hymen layer.
Yeah, they put a TikTok song on it. Oh, my God.
I don't know why this is turning me on. I'm not kidding
about
this.
You're fucking with us. You're not fucking with us.
It is. You know what it is? It's a woman wanting to have her hymen back and me watching it. This is real. This woman really said, I want to have my hymen back. And she's got a decent pussy.
But you gotta get your mojo back, man. You know, you gotta.
She has a decent pussy.
Tell her. See if you can find the name of the woman. This is rich. You know, I'm not exaggerating. This is we always watch something fucked up on the show. It's always a treat. It's always a joy. But that might take the cake for the thing I liked looking at the least.
Really? A vagina? Wow.
That you're like, oh, yes.
First of all, the first shot where the doctor went, look at this pussy. That was tight. Delightful. It was tight.
So, okay.
It was pink on the inside, brown on the outside.
It's unideal.
That was a Colombian.
What if fucking Lewis quits comedy and enrolls in Hyman medical school? Found your new calling?
Can I say something?
Of course. It's your show.
You could probably fake the license. if you could fake a COVID vaccine card, you could fake a medical.
Yeah.
Next, instead of that Gas Digital logo, it's going to be a certificate behind Lewis.
You don't really need to go to school for this stuff, my friend.
Does that say pussy doctor? I think it's gynecologist.
You don't need to go to
school. Tomato.
I am the maestro of vaginal arts.
All you got to do, and nobody knows. Like, that is such a rare surgery. Nobody's going to know if you're doing it right or wrong, you know?
I mean, after.
Yeah, but at that point, you've already played with her vagina for hours.
And gotten $20,000.
She paid you $20,000 to do whatever the fuck you did to her pussy.
It didn't work. It didn't work. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're going to have to, yeah.
Well, all right, let's hear more about this plain fucking. Don't forget, Come Fly With Me.
Okay, here we go.
I don't have it. I don't have it on the Spotify.
It's all right. Well, keep playing the sexy music, Bobby. Yeah, I want to hear Bobby continue to tell us about this.
Yeah, Bobby.
In your sexy voice, please, Bobby.
Great sexy voice, Bobby.
This is a very sexually charged episode. Podcast.
When you get us four together.
Starting with Buble, Colombian sexual energy. We got fucking Zach Amico here with his big supple breasts. We figured that out the other day. And all these sexy stories with sexy music. And then Bobby, on the cherry on top, is Bobby with his fucking delightful, sexy, womanly voice.
Okay. She told prosecutor Allison Moore that Ghislaine Maxwell was in the room during the abuse to join in.
Wow.
She detailed that how Epstein would have her straddle his face, pinch his nipples, and turn her into a pool house. Oh, it took her into a pool house.
He turned her into a pool house?
That's what I said.
And proceeded to masturbate on me.
He stored towels inside of her.
Then he went into the bathroom and cleaned himself and acted like nothing happened. I'd never seen that before.
Acted like nothing happened. He just... I mean, I'm not defending Epstein here at all. Pause it for a second. Pause the sexy music. There's nothing sexy about what I'm about to say.
Go off.
Nothing sexy about this.
Go off.
Okay? For all intents and purposes, that girl was a hooker. Was he supposed to fucking canoodle with her afterwards? What are they, kissing and fucking discussing their dreams and future? I understand that she's an underage child hooker, and that's not okay, but you can't judge him on treating a hooker like a hooker.
Right.
It's a separate thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he gave her the Monopoly money and fucking the transaction was over.
That was that.
Yeah.
So he was like, he acted like nothing happened. No, he came and he was like, I'm done with you now. My time is over with you.
That's true. He's not going to hang out with her.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's a crazy
leave him alone. Can we just leave Epstein alone?
I mean, the man, honestly.
Yeah. Just let him.
We've all made mistakes.
We've all. That's his lawyers.
Go ahead.
Jeffrey proceeded to masturbate again. Ghislaine was rubbing on him, kissing on him. Maxwell began to give Jane advice about her boyfriends. Once telling her, if you fuck them once, you can fuck them again because they're grandfathered in.
I don't know what's happening right now. I think Bobby's actually getting turned on right now. Like, he's getting lost in the words.
It's hard to keep the voice. Okay.
Bobby, this all fit. Shannon, you read it. You continue to read it.
Shannon, but do it in a sexy voice, Shannon, not your regular old shrill.
Yeah.
That's a joke, Shannon.
Jane said both Maxwell and Epstein were very casual about the encounter and acted like this was entirely normal. Maxwell did not appear to react to any of the woman's testimony, including when Jane pointed her out in court to identify her.
All right. We'll continue the coverage.
What is she officially being charged with? Being a down ass bitch?
Yeah, she's
The nation is watching this show for the
She's been charged with third-degree ride or die.
she's facing 6 counts stemming from what prosecutors say was her role in sexual exploitation of the women. The charges include enticing a minor to travel to engage in criminal sexual activity and transporting a minor with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity. To sex trafficking.
Sex trafficking, all right.
Can I ask a question? Ghislaine Maxwell, would you hit it?
Yeah.
Pedro?
She's a little too old for me.
Mm.
But if she brought... No.
If she brought some of her child sex slaves with her, I'd maybe throw in her as a piece of charity.
Yeah, one of those MILF daughter thingies. Son. Yeah.
Do you want to see pictures of the Lolita Express?
No. Oh, Lolita Express?
Just the plane. That's the plane. And there's a bunch of pictures inside.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be like, I thought it was gonna look like a Barbie plane. It's gonna be all pink with like fucking
Hello Kitty logo on it. You're like, this clearly.
So Maxwell and Epstein, are they husband and wife? What were they?
She like, was like, sort of boyfriend and girlfriend, right?
It seems like she was like his go-to. But I don't think she was almost like an assistant.
I think they were horny, rich, sick fucks.
Yeah.
I think they were like above the law. Yeah. They had so much money and they were overly sexual and just fucking regular people stopped turning them on at one point. And because they were
they broke their meters.
Yeah, because they were so rich, they just and just pushed that line further and further. It's like it's a sickness. By the way, I understand it because I'm a sex addict to a certain degree and I sex addict is probably not the right word. I'm a dude, but like I am a pervert though, and I am like a deviant. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So it's like eventually you get bored with just having doggy style sex. Right. Then you need to do it in public, or you need to fucking you know
throw a kid or two in there just to keep the spice it up.
I'm not even saying that they're not. I don't get the sense that these are like they were pedophiles. I get the sense that they were like. Deviant
hedonist
taboo
sick fucks who like they were just so disconnected from the law,
right?
Because it's not like they went after like 10-year-old girls or they were like going off, like it was very often like 18 or 19-year-old girls. It was very often they liked young girls that were like right on the line, and I think that they fucking they just didn't think that they were, they thought they were above the law.
If this isn't
R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, but when they're so grossly rich and they're like so disconnected from reality, I think that they just start to fucking.
No, totally.
You see it, not even just the sexual side, you see it in other, like John Jones, right? John Jones just beat the shit out of his wife and headbutted a cop car.
That's what's up.
that's what's up. You know, fuck it. You know what? God damn it. He's a real ass dude. Yes, he is. The man's a real ass dude.
You headbutt a cop car, that's... One might feel he's real, he's a real
ass dude. I heard the cop car didn't deserve it.
But like,
what was the cop car wearing?
People that have money just like, they... I find myself doing... I double park my car all the time, and I just turn
so taboo.
It's so taboo. But
he's hot.
What I'm doing is I'm just saying I'm above the law right now. It's the same thing technically as what Jeffrey Epstein did.
I love being...
Well, he was parking in the school zone.
I know what you mean. I like the double parking thing. I don't got Luis J. Gomez money or even close to it, but I do. I put on my dashboard. I got a... you ever see in New York... MTA workers always put the vest on the dash.
Yeah.
You know why they do that? Because the parking ticket people don't give them tickets because they're working for the. So I went and got my own MTA vest and I just put it on the dashboard of my car.
And have you ever got a ticket with it in the window?
No. One time my car should have been towed, and this was the morning after I hung out at my friend's place. The morning after I went to go to my car, it was gone. It was a parade route and it was moved. No cars were on the block where I parked, and I went, fuck, I got towed, but I had to go to work at this thing. So I was like, fuck. And then on my walk to the subway, I saw my car on a 5 blocks over. And I look at it, and there's a note on it that said, your car was moved. The tow truck operator just moved my car.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
They didn't. Like
that's a great scam that Jew, by the way.
That's
a great scam that Jew.
Yeah, get yourself an MTA vest.
MTA vest, solid. So what I do is I'm going to be less than an hour anywhere, I double park and I turn my hazards on.
Love it.
I do this daily. I did it today during MMA training. Like I never not. I drop my son off at school on the Upper West Side. I leave it double parked. I mean, busy street. I'm blocking a whole lane.
No one can even get through.
No, it is obnoxious.
Are you serious?
I steam at Equinox.
What the fuck?
While my car is double parked, I steam at Equinox. I take my time. I steam. I shower to cool off. I go in for a second round in the steam. Get a shave. Dude. Shave it all. Come back out. I've never once had a ticket. I do this 3 days a week.
Okay, but you don't block the lane. You didn't block people from...
No, he double parked
so much.
There's three or four
when
lanes.
When he drops his son off, when he picks his son up off at school, he blocked... So, and it's such a busy street.
He leaves the door open.
It's
both
admirable.
Doors open. I park on an angle. You know how, like, when people have Ferraris, they'll park at an angle? Park. That's what I do in the middle of the street, the avenue, Amsterdam Avenue.
See, I do a similar thing to you. Sometimes I've written a note on my... I've written a note, and I've written, like... hey, I have an emergency. I've literally written, like, my wife is in the hospital. Please don't tell. And I did that, like, I've just put that on the dash to just be like, I couldn't find a spot and I want to go to sleep. He's coming home from, like, a road show. It's 3 a.m. Yes. Just put it on the dash. They're not going to fucking tow you. It's my wife's in the hospital.
I was thinking this, Bobby, because you do, you're pretty good with Photoshop. So why can't I have you Photoshop me little tickets with the correct date on them just regularly? And you just send me the template where I could just change the date and the time in the morning before I go in. I think those are scannable, but I watched the MTA or the meter maid. I watched her going down the street looking at cars, and they just look, they're not scanning everyone. So I think,
wait, say again.
I think the little slip, you print out a slip,
the orange parking ticket slip.
The parking from a meter.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they can scan that to see if it's legitimate. It's not just simply a piece of paper. Right. I think it actually has a barcode or something on it.
Yeah, definitely.
But they don't do that. They're not walking around scanning every car. They're just seeing it with their eyes. It would take them too long to do that. So I'm pretty sure you can just Photoshop parking slips for yourself pretty easily and never pay for parking. I pay probably $20 a day for parking, $20 a day, 4 days a week. That's $80 a week. $320 a week.
You need to have Bobby, which is great use of your employees' time. You need to have Bobby, you know, time every value day. Money every day. Print you one for just every time period. So just
he says he wants a template so that he I can fix the date every morning.
Oh, that's great. And you know what, Bobby, while you're at it, why don't you Photoshop Lewis a gynecology degree? Just so
pussy doctor.
Pussy doctor.
I actually made my father one of those handicap things that he can put on his...
You made your father handicapped? You know,
I made him one of those things that you hang on your rearview mirror so that he could park in handicap spots.
When I read the Steve Jobs biography, it was one of the things that I loved about him. It's why I got so brazy with my parking in the city.
What, his scamming that
he wouldn't is... He wouldn't put... He had a really nice car. It was like a Porsche or something. Whatever the car was, he didn't like the way it looked with a license plate on it. So he refused to put a license plate on his car, and he would just take the tickets. Like, all the time, they're like, you can't do that. He's like, sorry. He was like, that's not the way the car's supposed to look.
I'm minimal. It's just minimalist. What
yes.
a douche.
Yes.
He parked in...
And then he used to park in handicap spaces. He used to park in handicap spaces just, like, obnoxiously. He just didn't care.
Such a cocksucker.
Never Steve donated Jobs. To charity.
He was such He's a cocksucker. We never should have idolized that piece of shit. Fuck. He's a real ass dude. You know what? Oh, dude. He's got a bad attitude.
One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude. He's the best. I'm going to get a Steve Jobs tattoo. I'm going to get a Steve fucking Jobs tattoo now. He's so fucking cool.
And everything ended great for him. God in no way got him back.
No. And that, the story with him, by the way, is he was also such a
bad
cocky
father.
He was such a cocky bastard that he refused to see, like, real doctors. And he was like, no, he was like, I'm going to, like...
Oh, yeah, fruit. Just eat fruit.
Yeah, he was like, he's trying to change his diet. They could have saved him. If they would have just went to a real doctor in the beginning, he's a billionaire. But, like, he could afford the best doctors in the world.
He was like, no, this light some incense and I'll eat a kiwi. Yes. And by the way, I won't raise my son, even though I have $500 million.
His daughter, and he did end up raising his daughter. See, that's...
Did he?
You only
did
hear
he?
That part of it.
Did he?
He did.
Did he?
He did.
Okay.
Okay.
Pull it up, Shannon. Pull it up. I don't believe Lewis. Lewis full of shit. Always has been.
He did. He denied paternity.
Great.
when she was a little girl.
But she wrote a book.
She did write a book.
Did you read it?
I didn't read her book. I read his biography. That's enough. I don't need her perspective. So, no, he ended up being a good father later on when she was like 8 or 9. He ended up taking over custody of her. If you realize what happened there. Okay, and they don't fucking say this in the movie media. Or the book or the documentary or anything. They don't say this.
That's what the mainstream media don't want you to know.
Krista Ann or whatever her name was, the girl's mother, she was a crazy whore. That's all they're failing to recognize that he got this crazy bitch pregnant and he was like, fuck, I'm on the cusp of doing something great, and I fucking got this dumb idiot bitch pregnant. I do not want to raise a child with this fucking cunt. So now here I am. So he just played that, and it's
that felt real.
But no, because I almost got a crazy cunt pregnant. The chick that I dated before Beatrice lied and said she was pregnant after we broke up.
Oh, that's
this
wild.
Bitch was like a violently crazy girl. Like her family warned me about her. Like after we broke up, they were like, "Oh, this is a crazy girl." Like just so you know, like off her meds, bonkers, fucking crazy.
Sincere question: were you at this point, you know, the man of stature and substance that you are now?
No,
not at all. I was a man of substances.
I was many substances.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had some stature. I was about 300 pounds, to be honest. No, but she was a crazy bitch. And if I would have gotten her pregnant, I don't think that I would be the good father that I am today. Yeah. I don't. Maybe I would. Maybe it would have kicked in and it would have just been like, but she was such a problem that it would have been impossible to have a good relationship with that kid.
That's
because
fair.
She's a fucking lunatic, like a genuine. I can't even imagine what it would be like to have gotten this fucking girl pregnant. I got Beatrice pregnant, who's an incredible woman, an incredible person. We broke up. We weren't able to make it work, but we co-parent in such an incredible way now. But if I got that bitch pregnant, I don't know that I would want to be around the
kid. You're like, I don't want to be associated with this kid.
You might disconnect and go like, in a weird way. You know, you hear about, you know, parents who like their kids are born with some sort of disease and they don't want to name the kid and they disconnect and they don't emotionally... I think that there's a chance I could have easily disconnected because this bitch was so crazy. And that is the X factor with Steve Jobs and that fucking crazy bitch. He was just like, you know, look, Zach's so bored with the Steve Jobs conversation. He's done
I'm
with
so
it.
Sorry.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they're not talking about what a crazy whore that chick was.
They never say that about the famous person because they want to vilify them. It's very easy to be like, oh, he was great, but he was also a piece of shit. And that's a headline. You know?
Of course. And I think that, look, he definitely had some fucking issues, but he was like 21 or 22 years old when he got this crazy bitch pregnant. And I think that, I think he more than made up for it. He fucking ended up, I'm assuming this girl is a bazillionaire right now and her life rules.
I mean, you fuck one insanely rich guy and your life is, you're made in the shade. So, you know, that's why I'm, you know, trying to get my rocks off with, I'm trying to fuck Michael Bublé in the ass.
I know.
Or be fucked, you know.
Oh, I know it.
But I'll settle for Lewis.
Maybe. Bobby, have you ever gotten a crazy girl pregnant? Or almost?
I'm not a crazy girl, but like my young.
You had my abortion?
Of course.
Wow. Who's got abortions? Raise your hands.
No.
Shannon. Well, she can't raise her hand. Her uterus will fall out. Uterine lining? Can a uterus fall
out? You would know what a uterine, like, you know, as an expert.
If she raises her hand, her womb will actually implode with inside of her body from all of the abortions she's had.
And that's medically accurate.
Yeah.
As a pussy doctor.
I do have my pussy doctor degree right behind me.
I have a pussy doctor.
The best. That's what type of pussy doctor he is. The number one pussy doctor in all the land.
Yeah, dude. I went to Harvard. Hell yeah. All right. Twitter's new CEO makes his first move. I didn't even know Twitter had a new CEO, but apparently that happened. It will no longer be allowed to post private photos or videos without the subject's consent. What does that mean? What does that mean, Shannon? I don't really understand what that means.
Okay, so the tweet that they actually posted, beginning today, we will not allow the sharing of private media such as images or videos of private individuals without their consent. Publishing people's private info is also prohibited under the policy, as is threatening or incentivizing others to do so.
Okay, so people can't...
anti-doxing.
People can't post the video of me blowing Bobby Kelly anymore?
Without Bobby's consent.
He's on fire!
That's what's up, niggas.
You're saying you're happy that people can't post a video of you blowing Bobby.
They can no longer post. Right, Shannon? Am I right or am I right?
I think that's right. There's a little bit more to it. It also
except says- videos of comedians blowing other comedians. Damn it! You motherfucker!
Specifically Lewis.
What?
It says that we would take into consideration whether the image is publicly available and or is being covered by mainstream traditional media. Or if a particular image...
So if it's a big, famous image of fucking, you know... Yeah. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Also, if it adds to the public discourse, is being shared in public interest, or is relevant to the community, then yes. It could stay.
Yes. Yeah, but then but that's why tech companies, that's how they fuck us, is they determine also what is, like, passable. So it's always like... Who do they want to take down? Because then they'll allow those images to exist.
Yeah.
If they disagree with your politics, if they disagree with just your general vibe.
Yeah. They've created enough space to go like, oh, no. You're saying fuck Trump, please put that image up all day. But sure. Yeah, that's very true. And that's also right now, YouTube just changed their dislike policy. They no longer show dislikes. I didn't know this.
Right.
I was on a thing and I was like, why can't I see the amount of dislikes here? And I thought that one of our producers changed the settings to where we were hiding our dislikes. And I was like, don't do that. That's who fucking cares? Cheesy. It's that fine. Sucks. I like the fact that they were showing dislikes. I feel like it kind of keeps people honest.
I think so. I think like when you see a video that's like, you know, most of the time it's somewhat negligible. But when you see a video that's like, over 50% disliked, you're like, oh, it's clearly shit, or they're saying something bonkers in it, but it
also makes you question. You go like, you see this very heavily politicized video about whatever, and then you see that it's been ratioed and there's 2,000 dislikes and 100 likes, and you go like, oh, this is like, at the very least, people disagree with this video in a very, very big way, so let me sort of consider it instead of just simply watching it and taking it at face value, which is what we often do. We all do this. We just read a headline. We take the headline at face value. Getting that feedback, this is why Reddit is a brilliant website. This is what was really cool about Reddit. The whole upvote and downvote system really does change things to a certain degree. It really does make you go like, oh, this is like a legitimate opinion that people are getting behind, or it's not, and it's bullshit. And I think that hiding the dislikes, I think it is a political move. I think it's specifically so they can, you know, push whatever agenda that they want to push.
You can suppress the idea of dissent.
Even on the baseline level as an artist, like I almost, if people don't like my shit, I don't want to hide that fact. That feedback is like, I think it's necessary and it keeps me making better shit. Like we put out that alliance of really, really good people, cartoon, the short a long time ago, it was shit. It was just done really poorly. We got a bunch of fucking dislikes on it, and it made me really consider what the fuck I was doing with my time and my money. Right. You know, if I didn't have all that feedback, I might have just been like, oh, this is fucking great. Because in my mind, because I was so, we're so young in the industry, we weren't creating content like that yet, and I was definitely didn't know how to make a cartoon. We thought it was good when we first put it out.
Well, that's how everything starts with, I think this is good. You don't go, this is shit, just keep going.
Yeah.
You kind of at the moment in the process, you're going to think it's good.
Sometimes it was funny, my instincts are better than I give myself credit for. Because very often I go, this is cringe, or this isn't good, or and I'm like, this isn't going to be received well. And of course, it's not. So I should listen to myself way more often than...
When was the last time that happened? You put something out and people just hated it.
They didn't necessarily hate it, but like me and Ralph did those dog cartoons that they didn't get like a lot of buzz. But I remember watching
Lewis sucks at cartoons, basically.
I'm not good at cartoons. The dog cartoons, they weren't terrible. They just weren't that good. They weren't good enough to be put out on their own, right? They were sort of like shells of like a good idea. They weren't really executed that well. So the feedback, it wasn't like, oh, you fucking suck. It just wasn't like, what's the point of putting something out that you, even your fucking fan base, like I have a fan base, if they're not going to get behind it, then
right. If right. the people who already have a built-in
likeage
of you. Yeah.
So
I think in the creator studio for YouTube, you can still see how many people
you can on the.
Oh no, you can.
Okay. I think you can. But
if you sign in, but I don't do it. They do it, and I'm probably not going to sign in to go see the dislikes. I probably I will now, but yeah, it's.
But even still, that's why whenever you see a video that it's like comments are turned off, you're like, oh yeah, this opinion sucks. Well, if you have to,
when comments are turned off
clearly yeah. this shit sucks. Because no one puts out something good is like, let's not talk about how it's good.
Yeah, of course.
It's kind of another form of that, of just turning off people being able to voice that this thing sucks.
So Twitter, we can't post pictures of other people on Twitter without their permission.
I guess, right? But
photos, images. But I mean, essentially, do you have to complain about the image or is it automatically going to be taken down?
Yeah, it looks like it has to be reported. And then they say they'll assess the context in which the content is shared in. And in such cases, we may allow the images or videos to remain on the service.
They have too much power. It's they're people who they don't like, they'll say it's fine. So those videos of you blowing Bobby Kelly, sorry, Chief. They're
probably fair game.
They're fair game.
Damn it.
They don't I'm like curious you. how long is his dick?
It wasn't his real dick.
Oh, there you go.
I realized I should probably clarify that to people. Sometimes people are tuning in the first time and they're like, okay.
No, cut out him.
It was a dildo that he put in his pants and we were on stage. But the video, actually I have a joke about it in my act. The video itself is just a 30-second out of context. It looks really real. Like, it looks like I'm sucking. Like, I'm on stage
and
with
people are 500 and
people screaming. And Bailey, a tranny porn star, and Jim Norton in the background fucking smiling like fucking little gay demons. And me just sucking Bobby Kelly's cock. And it's just 30 seconds and then end scene. And there's no context or
and
anything.
And you don't like it that it's out there.
I don't give a fuck that it's out there for me. I just know my son is going to find it.
I think you should have
And now, here's the thing. He's starting to watch YouTube now. So this is what he does. So I don't let him watch YouTube on his own ever. Like, I don't... even if, like, he'll, like, lie down. He'll be like, oh, can I watch TV while I lie down? He'll want to watch, like, gamers. This is, like, a category. He'll watch, like, Zebra Gamer.
Huge.
And he's just watching him do like a walkthrough of a video game, but he's just talking about it.
Right.
My son loves Zebra Gamer and a couple other gamers. But the way the YouTube algorithm works is they will just start suggesting things. And we learned a few years ago with Elsa Gate and a few other things that it gets into a weird, like you can go down a path where your kid's now watching some weird shit that they shouldn't be watching.
Right.
They've gotten better about it, but I still don't trust YouTube. So I never let him like fall asleep to YouTube because I'm afraid like in the middle of that, he's going to wake up and then he's gone down. YouTube has just put him on.
Fucking watching Hyman reconstruction.
Me blow
videos.
Bobby Kelly because somehow that is suggested. That's going
You know what? I think that's your next elf on the shelf setup is just the elf's watching an iPad of you blowing.
The elf is blowing the elf, Santa Claus.
The elf coming out of Bobby's pants.
Am I next?
I can't believe they don't have a parental control, right?
If
a nine-year-old is on it,
I have my YouTube. I have my YouTube signed in on the TV. My son isn't. He doesn't really have access to pads or
phones
or anything like that. No.
Good move.
We never let him watch anything. Like, he's never just by himself for hours, just flicking through shit. You know, he doesn't go into the fridge and take out whatever snacks he wants. It's a pretty controlled environment overall. Like, he asked for permission to watch a movie or to get a snack or but what's going to happen is eventually is he's going to be interested in his dad's comedy. Like yesterday he was Googling just something. Him and Natalie were just like, they wanted to Google because he wanted to learn about something. And like, so he's starting to get used. He understands the idea now that the internet is a place where he can get a lot of information. And eventually he's going to go down the path where he's going to want to look at my comedy. And I got to explain a lot of shit to him. There's going to be a lot of shit that I've said and done. And you're like, out of context.
You're just like, when two men love each other.
The image of me blowing Bobby Kelly out of context could be very jarring from his best. That's his best friend's father. Like him and Max are best friends. Like, so... And that was funny in my act. The joke.
Are we brothers?
The joke in my act.
That's hilarious.
Is that I have to get ahead of it. Like, I have to sit him down and show him. That's the only fucking reason I give a shit at all. And I did it. I did it on stage. I would do it again.
You're a performer.
Big J jerked me off with a fucking fleshlight. That's out there too. Trust me. There's a bunch of weird gay shit that I've done on camera.
Jerk off. Your dick.
Well, he says that I fucked a fleshlight that was in his hand.
But he was doing the jerking of your erect penis.
I don't remember who was thrusting and pulling and who was jerking and pushing, but you know what? We were there together.
We were and magic happened.
And these are all things.
And these are all things
so
that you got
to
explain.
So I'm going to one day have to explain all of these things to my 8-year-old. So
that's part of the sex talk is like that's how you get into it is just the shit you've done.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a sex talk?
No, I never did. My dad walked in on me masturbating, and I think he was like, all right, he's aware enough. Did you?
I already knew.
Or you didn't, yeah.
It was almost like Santa Claus, like the same thing. By the time they told me Santa Claus wasn't real, I already knew.
You're having so much sex.
I had already seen porn by the time my mom was ready to give me like the sex talk.
Well, you saw porn magazines.
Magazines,
seriously,
video.
Like, oh, there was not. I'm not even doing a bit. Like,
no.
Old.
There was
video. Not video. Internet, right?
No. Video. Like VHS.
VHS.
My friend. There was these two girls that lived at the top of Benson Street, named Carrie and Karen, I believe. No, Carrie and Kelly. And
somebody's got a pattern.
No, they were not cute. And their parents were out, and they brought me and my sister over, and we had like a porn viewing party. This was a regular thing that happened in many neighborhoods where somebody's parent had a porn, and then they're like, "Oh, we got a porn," and then a bunch of kids would watch it. So I remember watching this porn very, very young, maybe my son's age. There was a girl; she had anal beads, but they were in her pussy. And I remember her just like pulling the beads out of her pussy, like one by one,
like a magician scarf.
Yeah, yeah.
It just kept going.
And then the guy fucked her. And then the guy, I just remember the first time seeing him ejaculate and being like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is that? But I was also very, very turned on. I was like, it was like, you know, I was watching porn and turned on by the porn.
Yeah.
And
you was a group of people in a room watching
it
together.
Me, my sister, and those two girls and their little sister. The little sister was like maybe a year younger than
and
me.
Those two girls were how old?
They were maybe my sister's age, 2 years older than me.
Okay, so they're like 12-ish.
They were like 10, 11.
Okay, so when you said porn viewing party, I thought you were saying like the parents got together and we, you know, we did a barbecue and we had everyone in the room together and we all just watched porn.
My mom bought me my first dirty magazine that I like owned legitimately, not one that I like found in the woods and split with my friends every other day.
Yeah. Which one was it?
Gallery Magazine.
Gallery Magazine.
Gallery Magazine. This is, but at the time it was like essentially Playboy style where you wouldn't show pussy lips. You just see a little bit of like pubes and it was like beautiful women and they would do spreads, but it was all the, like the Playboy, it was no jokes. It was no articles. It was none of the other shit. It was simply just like 10 or 12 girls in this magazine that were super hot.
Photos of hot chicks.
Just photos of naked hot chicks. And my mom offered it. She's like, do you want me to get you a dirty magazine? My mom was into the idea of me being sexually liberated and fucking,
that's,
you know,
such a better way for kids to discover porn.
My mom was a heroin addict prostitute.
Yeah.
That's another part of story that should be known. So it's not like she wasn't actually a progressive, like hip mom who like was like, you know, right. I didn't have a dad to get me a dirty, you know what I'm saying? Like, I understand, like, if my mom, that was part of it. She was like, she was going, she doesn't have a father. Like, you know, he's obviously masturbating and discovering sexuality. Like, I'm going to, you know, but it was also kind of weird and inappropriate, and like I walked in on my mother with John's, and she showed me like really inappropriate like movies when I was a kid that I shouldn't have seen when I was a kid. So my mom was just fucking up left and right. This wasn't like, this was just right. If she had not been fucking up, this could have been a moment of like
bonding and like she's cool.
She's a cool good mother who's trying to like be a mother and a father at the same time. But it was much more in line of my mom would just allow me to have access to inappropriate shit at ad nauseum.
Right.
It wasn't like here's your soup. Let's do homework.
Yeah,
and also
like,
open up your sexuality. It was just like
wasn't cooking dinner and she was falling asleep every night on methadone with cigarettes in her bed. And then she was like, oh, here's a dirty magazine. You're jerking off, kid. You know that it just wasn't right.
Yeah. Nonetheless, outside of the context of your mom being a heroin addict prostitute, I do think it's a better for in terms of kids' stimulus to discover porn on just an image than fucking what like your son has access to the Wild West of the internet now.
Yeah.
And like, if I wanted to watch porn growing up, I like my family kind of would have known because it was the dial-up days. And like the image wouldn't, you couldn't watch a video. It was just like the image of like you'd Google boobs and it would take a while to load. Like it would just like, all right, that first part and then now, oh, now I see the whole boob.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
I think that's healthier for the like the dick than just like all of the stimulus watching 12 nuns. Oh, 100%.
Well, we talked about it before about just sort of being desensitized. It's like, yeah. I think, yeah, it's going to take, more.
Yeah, why is there erectile more erectile dysfunction in young men? Because yeah.
we've
seen so much.
Yeah,
porn.
To get off, it's just it's so much. We have access to so much.
You've got to stop watching porn. Porn's for babies.
Yeah, I stopped watching porn.
Good man.
It's not as a rule, but recently I just happened to stop. I've talked about it a lot, but I started watching virtual reality porn.
That cannot be good for the peen.
Well, I mean, it feels great.
It's awesome.
But now
the Oculus.
No. Do not watch.
Because there's, you do feel like there's
two. Yeah, you're looking around the room.
There's three women making out.
There's one, it's a Christmas themed one.
It feels
like
they're here.
Doggy, it's a Christmas themed one, and it's fucking like 16 of the hottest women you've ever seen. And you're just in the middle of it, and you're like, you take the headphones off, and you're back in reality. You're like, this is dangerous.
James, you gotta do your homework.
Right. It's good when like the dick matches yours, kind of like,
Yeah, dude, it's fucking
I'm always
solid.
Watching VR porn. I'm like, this guy's cock is so small. But
It's true.
No, but my friend showed me VR porn. He was like, just look at it. And it is alarming. Like, you're like, this is not, it's too visually stimulating. It's more visually stimulating than sex, just because you can see, I think it's too powerful. It's like the ring from Lord of the Rings.
It's really good, but it ruined regular porn for me.
Yeah, because it's
too
much.
And then there's not enough virtual reality porn to keep up with my demand for, like, an overload of options. So now I'm here where I just don't really watch porn. Like, I'm over the virtual reality porn because I've watched all the ones I'm interested in. They don't come out fast enough. And regular porn...
They don't come out fast enough?
2D porn doesn't do it. Regular 2D porn, there was like, you could just search a category, and every day there's 20 new videos of fucking...
More than that.
Yeah, but I'm saying, with virtual reality, there's not those options.
There's a limited supply. Yeah.
Very limited.
Sure, because it's probably
And you can't do what you
film.
Would do with regular porn, which is I'm going
to
watch 40 videos until I find the one I want to... Bust them not to.
Yeah, you, this one's like more like you find the girl that you're going to have your night with, and then you're with her and you watch the whole
thing.
Like,
you go to dinner.
Yeah, it's too much, dude. It's too much. It's just too much. But in a weird way, I actually like the fact that it broke my porn spell.
Good.
Because there was a while, I wasn't addicted to porn's weird, but it's like jerking off feels good, and I would always use porn to jerk off.
Sure.
So it was like I was watching porn too much. I will say too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it
became, it was a problem with like my ex-girlfriend Beatrice. She's like, you have a porn addiction. I was like, I don't have a porn addiction. I was like, you just don't get it. I have to watch 75 videos to find the girl I'm going to come to. I get from your perspective, she opens up the browser and it's just like just a million pages, and she's like, you're a sick fucking lunatic. I'm like, no, that was just one session.
You're like, I'm doing
that
research.
Sounds worse. I know it sounds worse from your perspective, but you got to be a dude to really understand why that's not sick.
Because you're not watching it all 25 minutes.
No, you're maintaining.
No, you watch it like a Roman emperor. Like, no, yeah. no. You'll do for the moment. No.
My wife, I was abroad in Colombia, so she's bisexual, so she sent me a porn.
Hell yeah.
And there were two women, and the one came to the other one, and she was like just sulking in a corner, and the other one was like, you know, it's not your fault. Your brother-in-law is in the wrong, and she should have brought that pie. You said you were going to make the pie. And now she started eating the pussy. And I thought it was so interesting that there was like a little bit of emotional uncomfort.
Of course.
And then that.
It makes it real.
I love
it. Story, honestly, if you better masturbation sessions truly are, if you invest in the characters, it will be better for you. If you just scrub to the part where they're fucking doggy, it's not as good.
Well, that's why OnlyFans is such a popular thing, right? Because you're invested in the characters. OnlyFans is almost like a combination of porn meets social media, right? Same way podcasting is like radio meets social media. You know these people, and then you get to feel like you're a fly on the wall while they're masturbating or getting dressed or having sex, but you know their personality. You know who they are. Like, that's why OnlyFans, that's the secret sauce right there.
Right.
That's truly the secret sauce. You know, one of my favorite things to do, this is now it's all like combined, but I was way ahead of the curve years ago. What I would do is I would watch interviews with like retired porn stars. right?
I thought you said retarded.
I thought he said retarded porn
potato
stars.
Potato. I watched interviews with retired porn stars, and they would be crying about the horrible atrocities that would have happened to them in the porn industry. And sometimes they would talk about specific times on set where they were abused, and they would be like, this movie and this actor is, you know, we would never work, and they'd be giving you warnings. And it was a very serious, heartfelt interview. And I would take that audio, and I would superimpose it over the porn that they were talking about. And that was, I mean,
and
I was
that
just,
would turn you on.
Oh, my God, dude. Wow. I'm getting turned on thinking about it. It's a solid category of porn. And now that's, people are doing that.
But that's, you created it.
I invented that.
Yeah.
I think.
That's, see, like, I don't like that particularly. So I do enjoy it when people are depraved and they're enjoying their depravity.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you say it. Wait, like, if I see somebody who is fucking, like, she's fucking some three dudes and the husband is watching, that real humiliation turns me on.
Right.
Not that I would like to happen to me.
You wouldn't want to be cucked, but you would want to watch him being cucked.
Yeah.
I've gotten into cuck porn recently.
Yeah.
This guy got that. I never gave a shit about it, and then I went down that path.
Do you have a favorite racial combo of cucking?
Yeah, white and white.
White on white cuck.
White on white cuck.
You got to have a white on white cuck. Because then it eliminates the racial weirdness.
But then again, you can't find that many videos. Because
you can find white on white cuck.
The fetish is BBC.
Yeah. There's a lot more black dude cucking a white guy, but you ever see a white guy cuck a black guy? Now that's content.
Well, that is wild. That is like
they exist.
There's no taboo though. You know what I mean?
It isn't, because it's like this is just the power structure that exists. Just fucking me for my money.
All right, look, we got to wrap this one. This has been a really fun show. Love having you guys on.
Thank you.
Pedro, you'll be back. That was awesome. Love having you on. Very funny. Brett Rabel, please go buy his album, Buble.
Brett on Buble. $375 up today.
$375.
Guys, you can afford it. Let's get this to number one. It would be please. So fucking funny.
It would be very funny. I'm going to tweet about it. Please, if you think this would be funny, retweet it. I genuinely want this to get picked up by the news. The news won't pick it up unless some people on social media pick it up. And the bigger it gets, the funnier it gets.
I love it.
So
I love
it. If you want to join the cause, please do. Let's take this motherfucker
down. We
got
to get the, you know what you got to do? You got to put Baby's Cold Outside on YouTube. This is the big single. It's a big deal. It's a big single. Okay.
It's on that My Hour special. I sang Baby It's Cold Outside with Pepper on My Hour special.
Oh, well, can you take that version though and put it out as a track on YouTube so then we could all start sharing it?
Yeah,
we'll get that one to go viral and it'll be the sky's the limit from there.
Okay, I'll fucking upload it today.
I love
hell
it.
Hell yeah,
thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate
can I,
it
can I
time.
Say something?
Yeah, please.
I also want to invite people to subscribe to my podcast and YouTube, like Comedy Mafia. We're doing shows in Spanish whenever you feel like it. If you have the inspiration one day to do it, you're more than welcome to come perform in Spanish.
See
Comedia. Claro que sí.
Comedia.
Sí,
he comedia. Just gets up there. Queso. Okay. Hey. Blanco queso. Chipotle. Chipotle. Quedoba, huh?
You think right. About it. We're out. You guys are the best. Peace.
Thank you.
That's all, folks.